Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and give us a rating and review on iTunes. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod, we discuss the impact of DeMarcus Cousins and Andre Robertson's injury on their respective teams. We've got JB Team of the Week coming to you with some historic stat lines. Team LeBron or Team Steph, who you got? More news from the All-Star Weekend as we discuss whether it was a travesty not inviting Donovan Mitchell to the dunk contest. And we'll be discussing whether no major moves will happen by the end of the deadline. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to this edition of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on iTunes and follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Helps us out heaps, and everyone wants to help us out. Or am I just being vain? Anyway, my name is Nick Busink, and the final of the Australian Open is happening on right now, and I am missing out, Jackie. And with me today, Jack Manuel, have your two-piece.
Nick, we do a basketball podcast. Who talks about tennis on a basketball podcast?
We are open to a variety of sports. Tennis is one of my favorites. Do love
it. We've done like almost 50 episodes. I'm sure we've had a mention of tennis.
Oh, I'm sure. Like other, like different sports that we follow. I mean, I would have mentioned it last Australian Open, I'm sure. You know? We'd have to go back and see what's going on there. Chilich is it's a tiebreaker in the second set. So just to give you an indication when we're recording.
Well, if we have any hardcore fans that know our episode history, which would be horribly unlikely.
We don't even know our episode history, so I doubt that. Anyway, today's episode is 2.15, doing this a bit of out of order. J-Man Jack Manuel, that was him just there. Follow him at JBT, the J-Man JBT. He posts some fire stuff on Twitter. He's a better follow than me, I can tell you that.
Follow him at JBT Nick. Still following? He's not the best follow, but he's still pretty good.
Just brutal honesty, you prick. All right. We'll get started here. Kick off here, as always, bit of a staple here on JBT with the Busink Manuel scale. For those of you who are new to the podcast, this is a scale created by us that sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. From news rumors to hot takes, doesn't matter, we will scale it. We scale it on alternative fact, so not going to happen. Twitter fact, could happen. Wikipedia fact, more than likely to happen. And just straight up fact, it's happening. It's a done deal.
Lock it in,
that's it. I should have a lock it in sound, but I don't, because I am ill prepared. Anyway. We'll start here with a bit of a somber note, and I don't like starting podcasts like this, but it's an important piece of news.
You start sad, Nick, and you build up.
You
the
build
mood,
up, like, yeah, that's, you know, it. And we end with our dubstep beat, and then everyone's going off. You're like, yeah, I want more. Yeah, that's it.
And they're born.
I mean, I do. I can't really speak for anyone else. Anyway.
I only listen to the podcast for the ending, really.
I literally listened for the music, like see how it all flows and how it all sounds, because it can sometimes come off very different when you put it through all the channels of the, you know, the podcasting compared to what I hear recording. Anyway, we've gone. This is not a somber topic. Now is a somber topic. DeMarcus Cousins and Andre Robertson both suffered season-ending injuries. The injury, and the question is, I mean, that's both, well, just condolences to Boogie, who ruptured his Achilles, and Robertson had something done to his ankle as well, wasn't it? I can't remember. Patella tendon, that's right. So the question is here, the injury to Robertson will affect the Thunder more than Boogie's injury for the Pelicans.
See, Now, Nick, I changed this because, you know, during the week there was all the talk about injury replacements, whether it be Lou Will or Paul George. They announced that it'd be Paul George. I think that's a fair enough. It's sort of a coin toss.
A coin. You are tired, mate.
I have not had enough sleep. But the reason why I say Roberson will affect the Thunder more, because his impact on defense just cannot be underestimated.
Oh, definitely. And yeah, I completely agree.
We mentioned, I think, last week with Jesse, Al Horford being the best defender on the best defensive team. Well, Andre Roberson is the best defender on the second best defensive team.
Hmm.
And the thing is, the system there is a lot less conducive, so to speak, to the other players like stepping up. Like Patrick Patterson might be the next best player in that. Jeremy Grant, Terrence Ferguson. You know, Paul George obviously is their best defender outside of all that.
Yeah.
But it's going to really be a huge load on him. So, like, is he going to have to take, like, the number one and the number two? It's really interesting.
Oh, of course.
But, and, you know, you look at the on-off numbers and Andre Roberson's effect on the defense and you know, their positive net rating is huge. Whereas DeMarcus Cousins, you compare that with Anthony Davis and Jrue Holiday's numbers, they still have great numbers together on the floor. Obviously, you know, last year they still had that, went before Boogie was acquired. They had that relationship. They had a nice pick and roll combination. And Jrue Holiday's been playing some really good basketball. It hurts them incredibly. It hurts probably their playoff chances a little bit. Well, not more than a little bit. But I think in terms of where the Thunder are wanting to go, in terms of winning a playoff series, finishing top three, top four, I think that this is going to impact them more.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you that each team needs to have... I mean, look at the Warriors. If they've got two amazing... all NBA defensive players in Draymond Green and Kevin Durant, and their defense is, you know, best or second best in the league at the moment.
Chuck and Clay as well.
Yeah, actually, they're not quite as good as I hyped them up a little bit. They're sixth in the league still, top 10 defense. Chuck and Clay, who's a brilliant on ball defender, and even Steph, who's an amazing off ball defender. But your key pieces there are your Durant and Green. I think what was working so well for the Thunder was having two brilliant defenders in Paul George, who is, more of an off-ball defender. He leads the league in deflections. I know that was the case last week. I'm not entirely sure how to actually check deflections because it's not on Basketball
Reference.
It's
in Hustle Stats.
Okay, Hustle Stats.
It's in Hustle Stats. NBA.com.
Okay, well, there you go. Just watch the game. And I watched a Thunder game recently when they played the Wizards. Creamed us. Absolutely destroyed us. Defensively, they are... I don't think myself personally have given them enough credit. I was sort of saying, how can you have such a bad offense? Like, because they weren't winning games with such a good defense. I'm like, is it a good defense? They're winning games now. They're over 500. And, yeah, their defense is just looking amazing. That's going to be a huge hit for them. Their defensive rating dropped when... And they were losing games when Roberson was out initially. Went on that little bit of a slide. And I think it may be too much pressure defensively on Paul George. So I think it affects the Thunder more because they are expected to do more, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The Pelicans... are a fringe playoff team at the moment.
They're six
right now. Yeah, I mean they'll be finished between sixth and eighth. They'll make the playoffs, but what they're looking to achieve, I think they will. Or maybe not. Maybe not now that Boogie's out. That may push the needle. The opposite direction.
Clippers at ninth.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the Clippers though, like.
Can you trust them? Yeah,
exactly. That is such a hard pick to place. Denver. I thought Denver would be a little bit better this year. They've suffered some injuries, but you know, so they're actually doing all right considering they've lost their second best player. But I still think the Pelicans have enough to make the playoffs, even though Boogie's been, you know, putting up these numbers. But in terms of what they want to achieve this season, it affects the Thunder so much more. He's an undervalued piece in that system. You know, everyone looks at the big three, but he is more important to that team than Melo. Like, easily,
I would agree.
Yeah, he just gets overlooked.
But I would agree.
Yeah. And that's my two cents on the. Anyway, I do this every time. Where you haven't even scaled this, mate. I'm putting this as a Wikipedia fact, because it's true.
Yeah, I was gonna...
it is true, but it's not by far and away true that like Boogie's not even important to the Pelicans.
I was going to do the same. We're on the same wavelength, my friend.
Look at us.
Right now, the Pelicans are 6 games over .500, so they've built a nice little buffer. They've probably been in their best form so far this season. So, but speaking of superstar players and superstar teams, the All-Star Draft happened earlier in the week. Wasn't televised, much to the dismay of every NBA fan in the universe, apart from probably two. I don't really know who didn't want it televised. Yeah. So, Team LeBron, Nicholas. We saw the teams. I'll go through. Do you have the teams in front of you?
I have the starters in front of me. I don't have the whole team.
All right, I'll go through the two teams. So we've got Team LeBron. Team LeBron had LaMarcus Aldridge, Bradley Beal, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, Victor Oladipo, Kristaps Porzingis, John Wall, and Russell Westbrook. Team Stephen had Giannis Antetokounmpo, Jimmy Butler, DeMar DeRozan, Joel Embiid, Draymond Green, James Harden, Al Horford, Damian Lillard, Kyle Lowry, Klay Thompson, and Karl Anthony Towns. So I put to you, my friend, Team LeBron is going to destroy Team Steph.
Everyone's been saying that online, and I tend to agree with that. I'll put this as a Wikipedia fact. I'm not...
That's strong.
Like, it's strong, but it's not... straight up, people are saying it's like that Curry's team doesn't even stand a chance. The amount of shooting on Curry's team, though, is impressive.
That's the thing. Like, I saw on, I think it was Sports Illustrated or somewhere, or SB Nation, where they were grading both their teams. Someone gave Steph Curry's team like a B- and gave LeBron's team an A+. At the end of the day, I agree that LeBron has the better team, but the All-Star game is played, it's whoever plays defense for like 8 minutes, the best. And
however, whoever plays defense for the longest amount of time.
And look, Team Steph has some okay defenders. Giannis, Joel Embiid, Draymond, Al Horford,
Klay,
Kyle Lowry, Klay. Whereas
he's got some very good defenders.
I mean, LeBron has Paul George. Oh, sorry, replaced DeMarcus Cousins with Paul George. My mistake his injury.
Yes.
Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant. Yeah, Victor Oladipo is a good defender.
LeBron James has LeBron James.
LeBron James obviously has himself, which is a key factor.
John Wall, but one of the best defensive point guard blockers in the league.
Yeah, people were saying he was the most undeserving All-Star this year. Which
I agree.
I tend to agree with, but we digress.
I sent out a tweet just first. I sent out a tweet when it all came out, and I said, as a Wizards fan, I would still have Andre Drummond in over John Wall. But I think we discussed that last week when the days were actually announced.
See, you're going WikiNick. I'm going Twitter. I can't commit fully to it. I do think LeBron has the better team. But like I said, the All-Star game is just an exhibition game.
Yeah, I mean, no one gives a crap.
They're all... So, like, it's going to be whoever is the most engaged for the longest. So, if, like, Russell Westbrook, if no one told him about the fact that he was picked last, like, he would have got, like, an 80-point triple-double, probably. But then he found out, it's like, oh, wait, I wasn't picked last. Because did you hear during the week against your Wizards what happened?
No.
So, they sent out, they released the draft and stuff, and like, how I read them out was
alphabetical. Yeah, was this him thinking that he was the last pick?
Because it was alphabetical. Because it was alphabetical,
yeah, okay, I did hear that, yeah.
And then at the press conference, he's like, hey, Mello, I told you I won't pick last. It's alphabetical order.
Yeah, that's right.
Picked, folks. And I'm like, probably, look, I would have picked him first off the bench. I think he's a key guy to have, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. Hopefully, this does liven things up a little bit. Next year, it's highly likely that we will see the draft. But Team LeBron, Team Steph, let us know your thoughts. We posted it. Nick posted earlier in the week the two teams. So let us know who you think is going to win. Hashtag Team LeBron, hashtag Team Steph.
Damn but right.
A man who is not an All-Star this year due to injury concerns, Kawhi Leonard. Now, I put to you, Nicholas, Kawhi Leonard's actual default emotion is quite jovial. It's just the fact that he hates playing with the San Antonio Spurs. Per the news earlier in the week, which said he's been clashing with the franchise over elements of rehab to his quad. we saw Happy Kawhi in China. You know, he wasn't hanging out with the Spurs. He wasn't, you know, with the general manager then. He was smiling. So is this the real Kawhi?
No.
And he's just pissed off with the Spurs.
Hashtag alternative fact. He is not.
It's probably the most alternative fact that we've ever had.
He is more robotic than Tim Duncan. And every time I think of Tim Duncan, it's just like, man. The he knocks over the pot plant.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. Football commercial. This is like the happiest day of my life. that's brilliant.
For those who haven't seen the commercial, check it out. Foot Locker commercial. They always do fire ones with Tim Duncan. I think it was on the phone to like Derrick Rose or something. And Derrick Rose has like the similar most monotone voice ever.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
but yeah, Kawhi's
default emotion is not jovial. Hashtag alternative fact. But the fact that he hates playing with the Spurs, I mean, there's been some unrest between... between the two camps, between the Kawhi camp and the San Antonio Spurs camp, and I feel like not many people have given this the credence it deserves. Like, nothing comes out of San Antonio for something like this to slip through the cracks. Surely there's got to be something to it. Chuffield?
Yeah, no, I feel you, man, because I mean, there was plenty of, like, it wasn't given like the credit it deserved compared to, say, like the whole Cleveland drama, because you know, Cleveland's always the sexier drama. Yeah. Kyrie Irving, all those sort of, but Kawhi was sort of like, and during the week, obviously, we had the Jason Kidd firing, and then there was, you know, Damian Lillard coming out. It was just a wild week for NBA news. So, I mean, we're going to try and condense for you fans, but the Kawhi Leonard news, I agree that it is an alternative fact that he's, you know, he is a robot. He's not human.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think people were saying that the reason why they're clashing is due to their communication styles. Kawhi Leonard is known to be, obviously, one of the biggest introverts in today's NBA. Hmm. So his communication style with the media is similar to his communication style with, you know, players, staff. So that could be the reason for the clash. Like, you know, the rehab staff are saying, look, you've got 2 weeks, then we'll reassess. And then Kawhi's like, okay, so does that mean I'll be back in 2 weeks? And maybe he's just like not saying anything in return. Because people are even coming up with like trade like rumors for it. Like, you know, we sent him to the Lakers for like Kyle Kuzma and 3 first round picks. And I'm just like, I doubt it's highly doubtful that he leaves. Because he's also in the running for a designated max contract after this. So he can sign the full designated max 5 years, $210 million.
Yeah, I mean, and he will
I
get,
doubt he's
he will
knock
get
that
paid. He will be absolutely splashed if he stays at the Spurs. However, it is an interesting point you put forward in terms of LA is now sort of coming back to form. He's like that guy. The mismanagement of the seeming mismanagement, I say that in air quotes, of Kawhi's injury, you know, leading to some unrest between the camps. I mean, there could be something to it. I mean, you'd be crazy to trade him. He's a, you know, obviously having the injury prone season that he's had, he is a top 5 player in this league.
Easy.
Just playing for a, not even a bad franchise, but a franchise that constantly flies under the radar. And that's...
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, he would imagine the accolade and the stories around him if he was in LA and New York, and we see this every time stuff like this happens. Like Damian Lillard in Portland not getting an All-Star game. It's like, imagine if he was in New York. He'd be there every year. And he would.
Yeah.
Of course he would.
It's true.
It's just how... You know, what the people want, I guess. People want to hear more about New York. It's a sexy, sexy franchise, like you said, with the Cavs. Anywho.
Definitely.
Shall we move on?
Speaking of unsexy franchises, Nick, the Utah
nice.
Jazz.
That's a good one.
But a guy who is very sexy and has been doing some very sexy things for, as a rookie, Donovan Mitchell.
He's a child, Jack. I mean, come on. Draw a line, mate.
He's an adult, Nicholas. I can find adult sexy. It is an absolute travesty, Nick, that Donovan Mitchell has reportedly not been invited to the dunk contest. Now, the participants are reportedly as follows: Dennis Smith Jr., Larry Nance Jr., Victor Oladipo, and Aaron Gordon. So, I like those participants. Mm. I really, really don't like the fact that Donovan Mitchell's not there. This is a huge travesty, Nick.
Oh, of course. I mean, this is I mean, I could have maybe gotten away. I could have maybe enjoyed it a little bit more if it was, you know, who was it? Like Glenn Robinson,
Aaron
the
third. Gordon.
Oh, well, not so much
like
that,
last year, yeah.
But like, if even if Zach LaVine decided he was fit to do it, obviously with the whole ACL, he wasn't going to be. I could have, you know, gotten over the fact that, you know, Donovan Mitchell wasn't there. He's a rookie, and Oladipo is a proven dunker. Larry Nance Jr. Oh my God, the fact that he hasn't been in a dunk contest is absolutely crazy.
He's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, he will be awesome. Aaron Gordon, obviously a crowd favorite, but Dennis Smith Jr. Dennis Smith Jr. Don't get me wrong, his hops are great. Don't get me wrong,
yeah.
But Jesus, no one. His highlight reel, his dunk highlight reel, does not even compare to that of Donovan Mitchell's. Funnily enough,
I posted on our Facebook and my Twitter page earlier in the week. Just the, you mentioned the ferociousness. He's also like Dennis Smith Jr. He's small, like 6'3". So he's got his arms and length. He's sort of, he windmills it in really, he's just the hops. There's so many things that he could have done in this dunk contest. And he said he would have accepted the invite. And I remember hearing the first tricklings out that Dennis Smith Jr. was in. I'm like, oh, cool. This guy's like athletic as shit. He's tried to dunk on Draymond. But then I'm like, literally the immediate thing I tweeted after was like, okay, next person is this. And then I just had the Donovan Mitchell dunk against Cleveland. So it's a travesty. But he's in the skills contest, if that makes any consolation. But it's sort of like the consolation prize because Lou Williams is in the skills challenge as well. So it's just like, you're not an all-star, be in the skills challenge. You're not in the dunk contest, be in the skills challenge.
Man. For me, I'd rather just have, you know, the weekend off, you know. A lot of players say that and it was actually DeMarcus Cousins, ironically enough, who was saying that All-Star Week is not a rest for players in it.
It's exhausting.
It's very exhausting. And so, well, I guess he'll be resting a lot. He'll be resting a lot more now, as in poor taste as that is.
It was good to see him. Apparently, I can't remember which player it was, whether it was Holiday or Rondo, or one of the vets or something, saying that after the game when they did their film the day after, DeMarcus Cousins still came in, and I'm just like, I love that. Obviously, there's complications. We chatted about it earlier, but there's complications around his contract status, about his free agency status. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there with the cap and everything. But, you know, there isn't a guy who deserves, you know, to be paid more than him. He was having an all-NBA season. You know, obviously all-star, but he was having an all-NBA season. Mm. But Nick, we were just speaking about free agency moves. So I put to you that the trade deadline is rapidly approaching. February 8th is on the rise. It is coming very soon. So, in fact, it's only a little bit over a week now. Mm. And no moves have happened yet.
It's weird.
I put to you that Exactly. I put to you that no major moves will happen before the end of the trade deadline.
Hashtag alternative fact.
So you think, like, but
moves will happen.
I guess it's...
It depends how you define major.
I mean... We talked about Kemba last week on the pod, whether he goes to the Spurs, whether he goes to New York or something. Does Kemba leave? That would be a major move.
That would obviously be a major move, yes.
Who's been an all-star.
A franchise player, yeah.
Does he actually... Do the Clippers move DeAndre? Does that happen? I think it's...
I feel like that move has to happen. If you're Cleveland...
Probably less and less likely for me, though.
Well, the fact that it's waited this long. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why have no moves been happening? So I see what you're coming from when no moves would happen. Because if anything was going to happen, it would have happened. Like, surely it would have happened by now.
Nah,
what are they waiting for?
Look at what happened to DeMarcus Cousins. His happened on All-Star, like, night. I think the deals always happen the last minute. That's when people start to cave either way. It's like, oh, all right, we'll take that first-round pick instead of the first and the second. Oh, fine, we'll take, you know, on that contract as well as taking on the star player. You know, the Cavs and their multiple number of moves that we mentioned about getting Air Bud and the Monstars. But see, the Cavs moves that I like is picking up like low-key guys. George Hill's on a shit contract. I'd prefer to get a guy like a Wes Matthews, a Dwayne Dedman, who's on some cheap shit. And that shores up two areas of your floor. You could even probably chuck in a Nerlens Noel there. Do some low-key moves that are going to, like, cash-strap you for the foreseeable future. Like, you know, a DeAndre Jordan and a George Hillwood. But this is the Cavs. Who knows what could happen?
Yeah, I know. I mean, firstly, I think they've just got to... They've got to win now. If they're in turmoil for the next bloody 3 years after LeBron leaves, oh, well, you gave it your all this year. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't matter. Your heyday's over with a LeBron, you know... If LeBron stays, then, you know, beautiful. You can win again next year. If LeBron leaves, it doesn't matter whether you're, you know, last in the East or, you know, third last in the East. Your heyday's over.
Yeah. Exactly. Just rebuild. And, I mean, the other rumors, and these are via CBS Sports, will the Lakers actually get rid of some of their assets to try and free up some space? Will your Wizards add an extra piece to sort of elevate themselves in the East?
I love DeAndre Jordan at the moment. So if we could move... I don't want to move Oubre.
Jason Smith.
I don't. Well, yeah, we want to offload Jason Smith's contract. He can be a good player, but he's on way too much money. That's why we don't want him. Anyway,
that's the curse of you.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I don't mind Yarn. Like, I'll be happy to keep Yarn. We can move. I'd be happy to move Gortat, and I'm becoming more and more likely to move Oubre. As much as I love him, I don't think. I think it's just. It's necessary, and he's like one of our biggest upsides, one of our best assets at the moment, apart from our superstars.
And I mean, you also chuck in the fact that the Thunder losing Roberson. I mean, they were already talked about having to make a move to sort of solidify their status as a top four contender. It probably puts the urgency in a little bit more there.
That's right.
Plenty of guys sort of on the move, as you know, Rodney Hood, Alec Burks, Lance Thomas, you know, Tyreek Evans, Nikola Mirotic. Nikola Mirotic is gone. It's a given. It's just when and where. And will the Grizzlies tank? You know, there might be moves that we don't know about. But
yeah, there'll be a lot of low-key moves. But major moves, it's strange that nothing major's happened yet. But we'll see.
That's why I'm going to give it a Twitter, because who knows what could happen. A week is a long time in the NBA, as we found out.
That's right,
Stay tuned to JBT on Facebook, and our Twitters will be posting all of the news you need to hear about all of it. But the other news, major news that we referenced, Nicholas, about the Cavs. You want to give this one?
Yeah, Kevin Love. He's been in a bit of the headlines lately. Yeah, no one seems to like him. Has been the most unfairly treated star player of the past 5 years. Now, mate, where does this one come from? Like, what makes him the most un... I just said. I can't speak today.
I read your mind. I feel your intuition. I'm your boy. Don't worry, I get you. But I guess, Nick, what you're saying is that no one loves Kevin Love. Give me a laugh track there. Come on. Give me a laugh track.
Call. I don't have a laugh track, but I can do this one.
I will smack your face off of your face.
Because that was so bad. I will smack your face off of your face.
Ah, right. Yep, that's fair. That was pretty bad. I did deserve that. Okay, well, the reason why I put this in, because obviously there was the team meeting earlier in the week, and apparently everyone went at Kevin Love for leaving the game earlier in the week sick. Apparently he was, you know, feeling dizzy.
Yep.
The optics of it didn't look great, and the Cavs, whoever it was, everyone was saying it was Isaiah and Dwayne Wade, said they didn't like it. Now, this has happened to Kevin Love before. LeBron James, you know, basically subtweeted him without, you know, atting him a couple of years ago about, you know, you're either riding with us or you're riding against us, or something along those lines. And then it's always the third guy, and everyone always makes the comparison to Chris Bosh. I don't think Chris Bosh got as much shit, because I think Chris Bosh fit in a little bit better in terms of being a dude, being one of the guys. Whereas Kevin Love, I think he's only sort of like good friend with the Cavaliers is like Channing Frye, and Richard Jefferson used to be, and he's gone.
Yeah, so I think it's a well-known fact that Kevin Love is just not a very liked player in the association at all. Like,
I like him.
From a fan standpoint, but apparently, like, just playing with him. This is what I've heard. I mean, I've got no source for this, Alec.
You
at
do,
all.
Nicholas. Just make up a source. Make up. you know the front office in Minnesota from years ago.
ESP,
before you even liked basketball.
From ESPN. Kevin, I've just heard that Kevin Love is just, he's not a fan to play with. Like, maybe this has just been, like, the scapegoat is the person that they don't like, the person who doesn't give, like, the attitude, or the person who, you know, like, shit talks and, like, unfriendly shit talks. I don't think so. He is a, he's an all-star. He's a great shooter when he's on. But, you know, defensively, he's got his hang-ups only because he's a small big, if that made sense. He's an undersized center.
Playing for the Cavs as well. You can't blame him for everything.
Yeah, of course, of course. I mean, Isaiah's been pinned for a lot of their defensive problems as well. And I'm thinking to myself, and this can't was verified. This was verified by him. It was like the Cavs had bad. Yeah, the Cavs had bad defense before he came in. I'm just like, I mean, they did.
I highly recommend anyone check out his presser yesterday. It got really fiery. It was all over Twitter, and like people were asking him about the you know, his play and then his confrontation with Kevin Love, because they have a history. I think they were, I'm not sure if they were on the same high school or AAU team, but like they've been bros for a while. So it's surprising to see this. Whether Isaiah's trying to deflect the attention. Now the Cubs normally thrive in this drama. We've seen it before.
Yeah, that's
it happens every
that's
year.
Yeah.
But it seems that, I mean, we probably said it last year and the year before, but this year feels a little bit different because you look at the Celtics, you look at the Raptors.
They've actually got good teams around them.
Exactly.
You know, there's competition there now.
So, I mean, we'll obviously be chatting about the Cavs for weeks and weeks to come until anything actually is resolved. But that seems unlikely to happen. But I do believe it's hard for me to say if he's the most unfairly treated player of the past 5 years. But he's certainly up there, so that's why I'm going to give it a wiki fact before we move on.
Yep, fair call, mate. Moving on, for the good, last one here, for the good of his legacy, Damian Lillard, and we mentioned this one a little bit before, just briefly, Damian Lillard should leave Portland. Mate, I saw a massive rant by Stephen A. Smith regarding this, saying, hey, you know, the time is, you know, the time is now. Like, you need to find out what the hell is happening with this organization, who constantly is on this sort of this sort of fringe of success in their own sort of right. Not the sort of success that Golden State have put forward, but, you know, relative playoff success, which they haven't gotten. Jack, I'm getting flustered here because I love Damian Lillard. He is an absolute joy to watch, and if he was at a bigger market, more people would pay attention to him. Obviously, he would easily be a top 5 point guard in today's league. Like, it would be renowned. I think if he was at a bigger team who won games, who actually, you know, put the W's on the board and made playoff entrances, he would be a top 5 player in the league. Top 5 point guard, I should say.
I wouldn't say that. I'd agree to disagree there because there are so many great point guards right now. But I hear what you're saying. But, you know, you look at Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City right now. You know, Oklahoma City are a small franchise, and he has made them a powerhouse. Not really a powerhouse, but, like, you know, they're sort of like that step above Portland, so to speak.
Well, OKC have international. I think you always say OKC is a small franchise. Perhaps in the States, which is obviously where
location.
Exactly. They're in Oklahoma. That's not a big market, but they're international. You know, everyone knows who Russell Westbrook is. Everyone knew who Kevin Durant was when he was there. I think from an international standpoint, OKC are a very, 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 very popular team. So, people, the spotlight is still on him.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. I'd say that that's because of Russell Westbrook, not because of Oklahoma.
Give Presti some love for that, for building an international business, more or less.
It was Seattle before that, so I guess, you know, we can go through the history of Oklahoma City as much as we want. But for Dame, in terms of Dame, I don't think he needs to leave because there have been rumors actually coming around that CJ McCollum may be even moved. Now, the reason why we brought this up, obviously, ESPN had a piece earlier in the week where Dame went with ownership saying, you know, what's the direction here? And apparently one of the key things that everyone's been reporting is that, you know, why did we trade Will Barton? Why didn't we take Will Barton? And I'm just like, yeah, Will Barton would be all right for that. But like, I'm just like, that's not the biggest thing ever, Dame. Like, you should be thinking about some other things. Like, why do we give Evan Turner a 4-year, $60 million contract?
They've just latched terrible contracts. That, you know, that's more or less a gamble. Like, will they pay off? But in a good system, you get decent role players on high contracts, they'll work.
Yeah.
Well, you would think.
But see, I don't think he should leave. I think his legacy remains in Portland. He's Portland until he dies. You know, he's Portland / Oakland. Obviously, he was born there. So he's allegiance. He's similar to Russell Westbrook in those strong willed allegiances. I don't think his legacy is going to be great nonetheless. But I hear your point in the fact that it will be greater in a bigger market. Like if he goes to like an LA, so the Lakers, if he were to be at the Knicks, if he were to be in Chicago or whatever franchise you want to chuck up there, that's one of the more, the bigger market bases. But I like him in Portland. You know, he could become one of the, his legacy could be that he's the best Portland player ever. Look at like with Clyde Drexler, Brandon Roy.
Mm.
That's a hell of a legacy to leave. But the legacy in terms of winning a ring, I don't think he's going to get that anyway. I don't think he's not Stephen Curry. He's not Kyrie Irving, and he doesn't have the support system around him. So I think his legacy is better off in where he is.
Fair enough. I mean, you can become that sort of cult hero at a smaller franchise. But he, personally, I think he has the potential to win rings. He's shown big moments. Like, he's not afraid of the clutch. He's not afraid to lead. I love him. I don't know whether that's just personal preference, but
I love him a lot. I
love Video Game Dame. Maybe it was because in my early days of following NBA, I got absolutely smoked by him in a 2K game. He absolutely destroyed me.
So, one of the first things that I did on for like a off topic, like a second or third episode, was I reviewed the Dame Dollar's first album. So.
No, that's right. Yeah, you did. Yep. Back when off topic was bad.
before it had the awesome theme music that we have now.
Damn
for
right,
every
yeah,
freaking
that's it.
So we speaking of, we will hear one of those after the break, including JB Team of the Week and Rookie Watch.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. Head over on iTunes and give us a rating and review.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Mate, I'm going to wait until this music finishes before I push the DBS, the JBT of the Week button, because we don't want to have an overlapping music.
Subscribe on iTunes as well, guys.
Oh,
yeah. Subscribe.
I forgot to say that. See, that can fill up some time. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button on iTunes and rate, review the show. You'd think it's my first day on this show. I mean, shit, I am all over the place.
We have it in the freaking document.
I know, it's right there. I'm looking at it right now. Anyway, this is JV Team of the Week. JV Team of the Week. Yes, for those of you who are new to this, this is where Jack and myself recognise players that have been outstanding in their position. Each week, 5 players get chosen, and the players who feature the most at the end of the year will make JB Team of the Year. Individual players will make JBT MVP with the most appearances. This week has been a very, very, very good week of basketball. We pretty much got all of these from the first day of the week. It was crazy.
Yeah, pretty much.
This was the game I was highlighting to before. Actually, no, it wasn't. Anyway, I watched this game. It was brilliant. Point guard spot, 148-124 game. Thunder absolutely demolishing the Cavs. Russell Westbrook flirted with a league high 15th triple-double and finished with 23 points, 20 assists, and 9 rebounds. Almost. As he became the first player in the NBA to register 20 points and 20 dimes in a game this season. Oh, God. What a game that was. Anyway.
Very solid.
Shooting guard, Lou Williams, had himself a night against the Jazz. 31.7 assists, 2 rebounds, 10 steals, Jack. 10.
God damn.
He just needed... Westbrook and Lou Williams obviously need to have a kid, and that'll be my first quadruple-double in 20 years' time.
Anyway, that'd be a wonderful kid.
Lou Will is the first player since MJ with 30 points and 10 steals in a single game. And he did that in 1988, and only the fourth player to ever have such a stat line. So he includes... company like Jordan Iverson and Elvin Robertson. Mate, take the front court.
Front court, KD had his 10th career triple-double, this time in a win against Minnesota. 28 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists. At the power forward position, a guy who's been low-key very good for his squad. In a thriller, James Johnson led the Miami Heat, doing a little bit of everything in the stat line. 22 points, 9 of 12 from the field. 6 rebounds, 7 assists, all in less than 30 minutes of court time.
Very, very nice.
20 minutes, 29 minutes. Very good stat line for him. He's doing very well at Miami, and is a huge reason for their success. And of course, the fallen man, unfortunately, but before he did so, he had an amazing stat line. DeMarcus Cousins put up phenomenal numbers in a win against the Bulls. It was simply historic. Became the first player since Wilt Chamberlain in 1940. 2010 game, and it's only the 10th such stat line in NBA history. 24 rebounds, 10 assists, 4 steals, a block.
Take that for that.
I'm going to miss Boogie. I wish him the speediest of recoveries, because he's just such a great player.
I'm just going to repeat that again. 44 points, 24 rebounds, 10 assists, 10 assists, 4 steals, 1 block. Jesus Christ. I remember the Bleacher Report update that came out and saying, like, this is not a typo. God damn.
Oh. 2K numbers.
Yeah, crazy. All right, let's get to Rookie Watch.
Put it down, young fella.
Best all-around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson one, rookie. Expect the unexpected.
For those of you who are new to the podcast, this is where we rank the rookies based on their performance each week. We award 1, 2, or 3 votes. We'll tally at the end of the year for Rookie of the Year, JBT style. One vote here goes to Kyle Kuzma, in a surprise win over the Celtics, actually. He led the way with 28 points, shooting 5 from 7 from 3, 4 assists, sorry, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, in 27 minutes of play. Very, very efficient stuff there from the Coos.
Coos.
2 points. Sorry, 2 votes goes to D. Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell continues to defy expectations in his rookie season. This time he put up a dominant performance to lead the Jazz over the Clips. 23 points, 7 rebounds, 5... Sorry, 5... I can't read. 23 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, and 2 steals. He is a magic man. We got there. He's a magic man. But a magica man. Magica is now a word.
More magic.
More magic.
Magica. That's...
Yeah.
Magicus.
Magicus. He's the magicus.
Magic king.
Jack, I feel like we are having a stroke. So I need you to take this.
Well, you needed to say something stupid to make it the name of the podcast. So, obviously, the 3 votes goes to our boy, Ben Simmons, who had recorded his fifth career triple-double in only 22 minutes to lead the 76ers past the Chicago Bulls at home. 19 points, 17 rebounds, 14 assists. Ben Simmons, many have said, you know, he's dropped off of late. I would defy that and say, have you seen his numbers?
Well, his last two games, he's gotten a triple-double in each. It's just a shame they've come in the same week, so we can't sort of reward him for both. But yeah, he's well and truly gotten back on track. If teams, you know, push him out to the shooter, though, that's when he can struggle. But 17 rebounds, 14 assists. He's not a one-dimensional. He's not a one-dimensional player. He's a one-dimensional scorer. But he's not a one-dimensional player.
Not by any means.
All right.
Yeah, I think having Joel Embiid there makes so much easier for him. But Rookie Watch and JB Team of the Week, guys, make sure you let us know your thoughts. If you think we should have gotten in Lauri Markkanen or Jared Allen.
There's... Do you have a rookie? No.
Kelly Oubre? Is he your youngest player, Kelly Oubre?
I think so. This is his third season. Sato's older than Oubre. Oubre's third year. Similar. I mean, we haven't had a pick for a while. We keep trading our picks.
Yeah, you gave us yours last year for Bogdanovic.
Hey, he was good, just man. He had such a good game. One game. He had a singular good night. He was a good player. I was actually a little bit upset when they got rid of him. I like him. He's got a good three on him.
Yeah, he's been okay. I think because he got a decent contract from Indiana, but that pick turned into our rookie, Jared Allen, who would probably be kind of valuable for you guys, but I guess you've got enough bigs down there. But as always, we end with Wizards talk somehow. We somehow get it in. And it wasn't even Nick this time. It was me.
It was you. You instigated this. All right, mate. We're going to end this with a little bit of a light off topic.
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now, the question is, pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh?
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What
the hell is wrong with you people?
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Yes, this is off topic. We've got a bit of a... We'll do a bit of a quick one here, a bit of a light one. It was just Australia Day in honour of the Philadelphia 76ers having an Aussie Heritage Night on Thursday. We thought we'd give them some advice as to what real Aussies do. And what would be included in a real Aussie Heritage Night. So this has come off the bat of, on the 26th of January is Australia Day, our national day. Invasion Day, mate.
Invasion Day.
Invasion Day.
Invasion Day.
That's it.
Stay woke.
So, mate, how? Let's just start. How would you spend your Australia Day if you were to
I spent my day teaching kids about Australia Day, and they could not have cared less. So I hate the children that I teach. Look, I think I would probably most Australians would spend it playing Goon of Fortune. For those who don't know,
Goon of Fortune.
Goon of Fortune is where you get a sack of wine, cast wine for those more sophisticated JBT listeners. Obviously, we are not.
Cask wine, yeah. We are sophisticated.
Cask wine. You chuck it on your clothes horse, your washing line, whatever everyone else calls it in the
it's
world.
It's got to be a rotator washing line, though.
Yeah, you've got to be able to spin that shit. Yeah. That's like the Wheel of Fortune.
Exactly.
Hence, Goon of Fortune. I reckon as well you get one of those kiddie pools going because it's always bloody hot in Australia. Yeah, damn right. Around Australia Day.
Have a nice barbecue. You can't have an Australia Day without some snags and some frothies. No, you need barbie. A few frothies.
What about shrimp on the barbie?
Yeah, you got to have some shrimp on the barbie.
It's like shrimp on the barbie.
No one says that. Like, no one.
No. just everyone thinks
it was that bloody tourist ad in the bloody fucking 80s or whatever, whenever it was.
Everyone thinks that we're Crocodile Dundee, basically. In fact, probably most of our listeners listen to us and going like, "What the hell are they talking about?"
I mean, I did ride my kangaroo. I did ride my kangaroo here. I mean,
wasn't that no? Okay, I remember. I can't remember if it was with you in New York, but it was in New York, and I was talking to like the police officers near Yankee Stadium. It wasn't with you. It was with Magazine and other people. And they're like, oh, y'all from Australia. Did you, you got like y'all crocodiles in your backyards? I'm like, yeah, mate. Oh, mate, they're scary shit. And we ride your kangaroos to work. It's always good fun. play up the other
Yeah,
thing,
you just so, gotta,
so why not?
You've sort of fulfilled this mystique and you let them believe whatever the fuck they want to believe. Who cares?
Makes them happy, mate. It makes them happy.
But yeah, I thought it was good that you know, they had a 4-20 pie beef eating contest.
Dane Swan was there as well.
Yeah, Dane Swan was there. He's an AFL footy player. That was great. And the broadcast team actually tried 4-20 pies. They didn't mind them. They liked them. And I was
They're
like, all
cool.
Right, good
they
for you.
They are very good.
I mean, I didn't know what I didn't know that Americans called pies. Like, I didn't know that they called them desserts until I was, you know, older. Every time I hear a pie, I'm just like, oh yeah, meat pie. Like having pie for dinner. I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
Key lime pie, peach pie, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, it's not pie, it's cake or tart something.
Yeah. Well, let's not appease. Let's not insult our highest listener base, Nicholas. So
that's
let's,
right.
Let's keep them on side. We've alienated enough. But one thing that was nice was a colleague of mine who's an Aussie as well. He's from Sunbury.
Oh right.
Or Sydenham, one of the S's. So not far from us. He brought in Lamingtons. I'm like, these are nice.
Lamingtons.
For those that don't know, I feel like we say "for those that don't know" quite a bit on this podcast.
Well, we talk to a bunch of people that don't know shit. No, I'm kidding. We love you all.
We don't know shit, and we need to explain it. That's basically what it is.
I more have to explain things for Jack's, you know, benefit.
My IQ is lower than my number of fingers, but. Lamingtons are the chocolate, so you covered cakes with coconut, and they're gooey on the inside. They're very nice, spongy. I highly recommend it for any sweet lovers out there. Maybe even a pav. I always love a good pav.
Oh, lots of fruit kiwis, on a pav, like cream,
passion
and
fruit, strawberries, yum. Cream. Yep. Oh, I kind of want one right now. It's only 10 a.m., like almost 11 a.m. But I could really go.
I'm not a huge fan of Lamingtons myself. I don't like coconut. That's why I like. A major character defect in my persona.
Yeah, look, I don't like bounties.
Bounties are balls.
Bounties are pretty trash. Yeah. But I don't mind Lamington.
But nothing beats a good Timmy. A nice double coat Timmy. Oh, mate. Oh, I'm salivating.
Actually. I think I brought some over here, but like I think I ate them in the first day. Like I had the caramel ones and the double coat ones, and I just had both packets for like dessert. But
and hold on, before we end, what did you want to say?
I was just gonna say for any of our Australian listeners, if we're missing anything, make sure you at us.
Well, yeah, Facebook, that's right. I mean, yeah, of course, standard. I just want to say something for all our international listeners out there who know or have tried Vegemite. We're not crazy for liking Vegemite. We've been conditioned from such a young age. Imagine you're a newborn and you're taken away from your family. This is a very extreme case.
And
you were forced to eat, I don't know, fucking Savoy. Oh, no, not even. Not, okay, something bad. What's something bad? Like raw pickles for your whole life. I feel like you'd end up liking raw pickles. And then when you get assimilated in normal life, you'd be like, well, you don't eat raw pickles? Like, it's amazing. That was like... Every Australian... Not every Australian likes Vegemite, but those of us that liked it, 9 times out of 10, we grew up on it. It's not something you develop a taste for later in life. If you hate it, you hate it. And those who love it were forced to love it.
And it's way better than Marmite as well.
Oh, a billion times better. Than Marmite. I got some Kiwi mates who are just like, oh yeah, bro, give me some Marmite. And I'm like, it's like, you're joking, mate. You're off your rocker because Vegemite's goat.
Same over here in London, Nick.
But, it's crazy.
Vegemite is wonderful. And for those that don't agree, please still listen to our podcast. We have hot takes on basketball. Our hot takes on spreadable goods.
Subtext here. I apologize for any New Zealand folk that I have offended on this podcast.
over the years, we've offended so many goddamn people. I feel like I don't know how we get featured in shit.
Yeah, I know.
People actually... We got over 100 listens.
We're a crass, very crass podcast.
We're
love
a crass
it.
Bunch.
Love it, mate.
But,
it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, guys. As always, thank you for downloading and listening to this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio. Remember to rate and review the show. Help us out heaps. We appreciate those ratings. You can contact us at the JManJBT is myself, or at JBT Nick is Nicholas. Sure to hit up at OTG Basketball, where they have their trade deadline marathon going wild right now. Definitely some really fire trades happening. We're also part of the podcast network over there. There's Celtic Express, there's the NBA Outlet. If you want to hear me, I'm always appearing on the NBA Outlet and the Brooklyn Buzz. There's the Pelicans podcast, Magic podcast, There's just so much for all your podcast needs. We've got Facebook. Just search Just Ball Things. We're there. We're growing. We're past the 3,000 mark now. Help us be 4,000 and 5,000.
That's it.
You can hit us up on email where we'll read them on the show, jbtpodcast@gmail.com. Remember, it is you guys who make the show great. So we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars. Go!